DX facts. A DX unit can only cool an airstream to a maximum of 30 degrees Fahrenheit cooler than the air supplied to it. A DX unit cannot cool an airstream to less than approximately 43 degrees Fahrenheit to 45 degrees Fahrenheit. Direct expansion or DX equipment. Does the DX unit have the ability to remove any moisture from the 70 degrees Fahrenheit, 25% RH degree, 32 degrees Fahrenheit? 70 degrees Fahrenheit minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit equals 40 degrees Fahrenheit. 43 degrees Fahrenheit to 45 degrees Fahrenheit, coolest potential temperature produced by the unit. Conclusion: the DX unit does not have the ability to dry the air when the air supplied to it is 70 degrees Fahrenheit, 25% RH. When using a DX unit as a dehumidifier, the lowest dew point temperature you may expect to see leaving the machine would be 43 degrees Fahrenheit to 45 degrees Fahrenheit. Chilled water or chillers. Chillers work on the principle of supplying cold liquid to a series of radiators that will chill an airstream that is supplied to a structure. While these devices sound as though the fluids are harmless, they frequently contain additives that must be handled and disposed of responsibly and legally. Frequently, these chilled water systems are large enough to produce up to 1,000 tons of cooling. The chilled water is stored in a large tank and distributed to a series of individual fan coil units, FCUs, frequently equipped with large fans to drive the air over the radiator coil. The cold water flowing through these units then cools the air passing over them throughout a building. This allows for less ducting in a building and more individual control in separate rooms or areas. Chilled water or chillers. Chilled water or chillers. Chilled water or chillers. It is sometimes beneficial to slightly undersize tonnage or slow down the evaporator fan to increase the amount of moisture removal, dehumidification, provided by a portable cooling system. Understand that this may result in higher than anticipated sensible temperature in the building. Be aware of the need to compensate for infiltration air that may have been made up from outside by the building's existing HVAC system. If you are temporarily replacing the HVAC system or just supplementing it, be on the lookout for continuously running exhaust fans in bathrooms and kitchens, and constantly opening doorways or air exchangers on the building to comply with ASHRAE building standards, especially 62/1989, which specifically governs makeup air in a commercial building. Portable temporary heating equipment. Direct and indirect flame heated air systems. Direct and indirect flame heated air systems. Indirect fired furnaces are the safer choice for those that do not wish to follow protocols or do not understand the risks associated with direct fired furnaces. Electrical heat may be considered indirect fired since the source of the energy comes from the electrical generation plant. Hydronic or boilers, infrared or radiant heaters, infrared or radiant heaters. Heat drying systems should consist minimally of a heat source, apparatus, a way of getting the heat to the affected area, and a way of exhausting the evaporated moisture in the air outside the building. It is also recommended that the system have a thermostat or other control device to regulate temperature throughout the project to avoid uncontrolled heat rise as the material's moisture levels decrease, reducing the cooling effect of evaporating moisture. Infrared or radiant heaters. Always ensure that fuel supply tanks, lines, and connections are in good order so they will not leak or fail, and comply with local fire and building codes or regulations. Always consider the electrical consumption on devices and ensure all power supplies, cords, and connectors will be suitable for the energy, kilowatt draw, on them. Overheating and fire may result. In order to avoid secondary damage, you need to identify upper temperature limits on building materials and contents, as well as who will be in the building when employing a heat drying system. Infrared or radiant heaters. Always ensure that fuel supply tanks, lines, and connections are in good order so they will not leak or fail, and comply with local fire and building codes or regulations. Always consider the electrical consumption on devices and ensure all power supplies, cords, and connectors will be suitable for the energy, kilowatt draw, on them. Overheating and fire may result. In order to avoid secondary damage, you need to identify upper temperature limits on building materials and contents, as well as who will be in the building when employing a heat drying system. General concepts for heated air exchange drying systems. The first and foremost thing to understand about heat drying is that the materials are dry when the dry standard or drying goals set forth have been met by monitoring with the proper instrumentation. Some people are under the assumption that temperature alone is enough to dry a building. However, correct instrumentation, supported with accurate moisture content readings recorded in a final job report, are necessary to prove that we dried the building. General concepts for heated air exchange drying systems. General concepts for heated air exchange drying systems. In preparation for the execution of an elevated heat drying strategy, the specialist should ensure that heat-sensitive items have been removed or protected from the potentially adverse effects of being heated to high temperatures.